On the 25th of December 1996, six-year-old JonBenet Ramsey was killed in her Boulder, Colorado home. Her parents, John and Patsy Ramsey, called the police at 5:52 a.m. to report that their daughter was just missing. The police later found a ransom note, and then things unraveled and seemed much, much more sinister than originally thought. This is the case of JonBenet Ramsey.
Oh, I love this case, and I know you do too, and you've got a lot to say.
I have got a lot to say about this case. Yeah, so just straight off the bat today, we aren't doing a really, really thorough, in-depth version of this just because this case has been done a lot. It's very, very popular. I think it's probably the most popular sort of true crime case. There's tons of stuff. There's a really great documentary as well that you can get on YouTube if you just like put in the search JonBenet Ramsey documentary, and it's really good, and they go through and they like recreate the crime scene and stuff like that, and it's really, really detailed. But if we were to do a really detailed one on it, we'd need multiple episodes because there's so much with this case. So we're just going to kind of keep it condensed today. So I'm going to give like a brief overview of what happened to JonBenet Ramsey, and then we're going to talk about like our favorite kind of theories, like the theories that we think are very probable and what happened basically. And obviously as well, like we told in the last episode, these are our last episodes now that are coming up. Obviously it's episode 47 that you're listening to today, and obviously we're only doing up till episode 50. So this is the last true crime proper case we're doing, because the next case is a bit of like a, it is true crime still, but it's a little bit more fun. It's not like, you know, like about death and stuff like that.
Can we tell them how we decided on our last cases?
Go on.
So Danny got to pick one and I got to pick one. So this is Danny's pick one. And then our last two cases are going to be a review of our favourite cases.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, because I just have all the opinions, and I like just generally talking about a case, which is kind of what we're going to do today after I've gave like a brief kind of overview to the case on JonBenet Ramsey. So without further ado, let's get into the case. Let's open the case file.
For the last time.
For the second to last time. 6-year-old JonBenet Ramsey was killed in Colorado at her home. Her parents, John and Patsy Ramsey, called the police at 5:52 a.m. that morning to report that her daughter was missing, however, because they hadn't yet found JonBenet. Although the police found a ransom note that demanded $118,000 for her return, that money would never be necessary because they later on that day recovered JonBenet's body in the basement of the house underneath a blanket. And the crime very quickly became a big national sensation.
News frenzy.
Yeah, it was. It was a huge news frenzy. And one of the reasons it was a huge news frenzy, I think, is just because of the way JonBenet looked as well. She literally looks like a Barbie doll. She's got like bright blonde hair. A lot of the pictures of her always had like a full face of makeup because she was a beauty pageant queen.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom was like really into beauty pageants. Her mom had done it when she was younger.
Like a dance mom.
Yeah, she was very much like a dance mom. And she did like everything with JonBenet, and she had a lot of attention on her. A lot more than probably her elder brother, Baron, which is definitely going to come into play in a little bit when we talk. Yeah, when we come to talk about that. Just like a really quick sort of trigger warning. We are about to speak about like a child's being found, like their body being found, and we're about to talk about like how she died. So if obviously you don't want to listen to that, skip ahead a couple of minutes.
We did have a rule would not do children, talk about children on the podcast. However, because it's coming to our last ones and this is such a well-known case, we have decided to ignore that rule.
Yeah, pretty much. But the rules are suspended for now. But I'm giving a very loose description, not like full-on description like we do in some of our episodes. So JonBenet, she'd been beaten and strangled when she was found, and she had tape over her mouth and her hands were tied together with a cord, and there were also some signs of sexual assault as well. However, Boulder detectives did a really poor job of preserving the evidence and actually allowed her father, John Ramsey, to disrupt the crime scene by removing his daughter's body from the basement. So what happened was, John was actually the one who found JonBenet with his friend. They went and searched the house once the police were there. Yeah, they went and searched the house once the police were there, and he found the body and picked her up and like took her through the house, went and laid her down upstairs next to their couch and stuff, where lots and lots of people had been walking through because they pretty much called all of their friends, anyone they knew, to like come round to their house. And so the amount of DNA that was then put into this house by people coming in and out before the police had even got there was ridiculous. Like, there was so, like, it was very, very contaminated, and people were walking all over this house. And this is where my first kind of problem comes with this, because if your child is missing, why haven't you searched the whole house? I understand that they found a ransom note that says, like, we've taken your child, but why haven't you searched the whole house yet?
I don't get that.
It's bizarre. Like, even a quick scan, because she wasn't, like, hidden away. Yes, she was under a blanket, but it was very, like, when you see, like, reconstructions of the scene, it was literally, like, she was in the middle of a floor with a blanket over her. It wasn't, like, she was hidden away. So a quick scan, a quick turn in the light on and a scan of the room, you'd see her. So, you know, it wasn't...
I think that would be the thing you do before you alert anyone else that she's missing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You'd, like, go and look. So this is the thing that really puts a lot of the suspicion on the family for me, or people that knew the family, like friends of the family or something like that.
Have you seen that TikTok thing as what to do if a child goes missing in like a supermarket?
No, I haven't. Tell me.
Just out putting this information out there. A lot of people, like when they lose their kids in like a supermarket or like a crowded place, like look panicked and might run around trying to find them and maybe might shout out their name to try and find them, but they won't alert anyone else.
Yes. So like tell other people straight away.
No, as you're looking, you need to shout the description of the child out. It'd be like, I'm missing a child called Danielle. She's wearing a grey hoodie. She's got glasses. She's female. I'm missing a child. I just keep repeating that, like, description.
Yeah.
Because then if someone's taking it, then they become, like, too hot to handle almost because that description's around. Description, but it's also alerting every other adult in that area that there's a child gone missing and what to look for, because, like, the child might walk past them and you might not know that's a missing child.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
There you go, saving lives.
Saving lives. Yeah, that is... TikTok's really good for stuff like that, you know. I find loads of things on there. With no signs of an intruder, suspicion quickly fell on JonBenet's parents. The ransom note seemed suspicious to authorities. Not only did the strangely specific amount of the ransom, which was $118,000, match the exact amount of John Ramsay's bonus from his employer. His Christmas bonus that year, that was the exact amount. So it's got to be someone that at least knows them very well.
Or him himself.
Or themselves, obviously. The paper of the ransom note had also been written on paper that was found in the Ramsay home. So this was not a pre-written note. If someone had broken in, when there was no signs of entry of anyone else, they've not even pre-written it. It's literally just written on their paper, which is really risky. Like, what if someone comes downstairs in the middle of the night or something and you're there writing a note? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's very risky. As well as this, the note was extremely wordy. Like, it just is nothing like actual real ransom notes that are found at crime scenes, you know, like where they've actually been done. Normally they're very short, they're to the point, but this ransom note, and you can find it online, I won't read the whole thing out because it is very long, but it's very wordy, and it's very as if it's been written in a movie. Like, it's like something you would see in a movie, you know, like very cheesy, very corny, like, don't call the cops, and you know, like stuff like that.
Don't
it's
call
very...
the cops or there'll be trouble.
Yeah, exactly. It's not great, and so it does kind of look like it's been written by the parents. For the curious public, the fact that they were failing to like cooperate with this investigation fueled speculation about their guilt, because normally when a child goes missing, the parents are heavily involved with the investigation, and they will, you know, like go on TV and do like publicity for them. They'll let the police do anything, you know, like have full warrants of the house. You know, they will be very cooperative because all they want to do is like get their child back. So the fact that they were being reserved and a bit guarded seemed off to the officers, because that's not a general reaction from a concerned parent. So that's another thing that sort of goes against them. So in addition to that, JonBenet's active participation in beauty pageants, which required her to wear really heavy makeup and sophisticated clothing, was considered widely inappropriate by a lot of the public, which is a little bit judgmental of the public, because a lot of people not blamed Patsy, but I think a lot of people thought that she could have possibly been vulnerable to, like, unfortunately, I don't really like saying this, but, like, she could have fell prey to, like, a sexual predator or something like that because...
She doesn't look her age.
Yeah, she doesn't look her age. And obviously, it's very public beauty pageants. Lots of people will go and attend them, things like that. It's access, isn't it, to her?
But they're big in America, though, beauty pageants, and it's, like, part of the culture there.
They are, definitely. And it was part of Patsy's culture because that's what she had done when she was younger herself. So I think it's a bit unfair to blame her for that.
Patsy brings it to the runway.
Well, we'll see. But yeah, so the investigation then continued for more than 2 years. But in October of 1999, the grand jury hearing evidence in the case was finally dismissed with no recommendation for filing any charges. There had been some sort of report of, like, a Santa that had gone round to the house, and it might have been them, but none of the DNA and things like that matched. And in 2006, a former school teacher, John Mark Carr, was arrested because he actually confessed to murdering JonBenet. So they really thought they'd caught the culprit for a long time. However, his DNA didn't match the samples found on JonBenet's body either, and so he was released. So obviously it was a false confession from him. The family were kind of left with no answers really for JonBenet, and the case pretty much just went cold. So this is where we're going to talk about our kind of theories and what we think happened based on these aren't like our theories that we've made up, but they're like well-known theories. There's a lot of them, but there's these are the two that we sort of believe in. So like I said, really condensed version of the case, and now we're sort of going to delve into the theories. So the first case I'm going to talk about, well, the first theory I'm going to talk about is one that I think I lean towards slightly more than the one Dean leads towards. So this is why I'm going to go with this one first, because then we can sort of bring Dean in a minute. So the first kind of theory is that JonBenet's father was possibly involved in a paedophile ring, and there has been like some evidence brought forward by investigators for there being one in Colorado, which there are paedophile rings everywhere, so I don't struggle to believe that at all.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. And JonBenet's father was like a man of quite high standing and had friends in quite high places as well. And unfortunately, a lot of the time it is, you know, people who are in high standing positions, things like that, positions of power. So a lot of people have sort of speculated as well, this might be why the police weren't too hot on investigating the parents as much as they could have at the time, because it could even be like people high up in the local like Boulder area of the police, because this is more of like an FBI theory than like their local police station theory. Unfortunately, they think that John Ramsey was part of this paedophile ring, or at least friendly with people who were in it. And unfortunately, like, maybe JonBenet got mixed up in it, obviously with there being a young child of 6 years old. I'm not going to go into that kind of detail because I'm not going to touch
that. This is the line.
Yeah, that is the line, and that's as close as I'm going to get to it. There must have been either a falling out of some kind, or John Ramsey sort of was much more sinister than we think. Because obviously the DNA as well that was on JonBenet Ramsey was not anyone in her family. So that's what leads me to think, well, maybe it was this paedophile ring then that he's been rumoured to be connected to, because if it's someone else's DNA and we've never found out who it was, it's not that person who came to the house as like a Santa that Christmas who they thought it was. It's not the person that confessed to it, because it's not his DNA either. It's not the family's. But for me, all of the other little things, like with the ransom note, with the way the family were cagey afterwards, there's something like not right with them. So I really lean into this theory because I think it's really gross, it's really sinister, and could have potentially been like an accident or something like that if something got out of hand. And obviously, again, I'm not going to go there because it's gross. I think something unfortunately horrible like that could have happened to her, especially because of the way she was found. Like, she was tied up and she had like tape over her mouth and things like that. Like, maybe she was killed accidentally.
Can I just push this further? So there's also, and I think this is probably not the FBI theory, but there's also rumors that this cult, this ring, if you please,
yeah,
is also a ritualist cult, and they use this in their practice.
See, now this is the bit where it goes a little bit
conspiracy tinfoily hat, and that she was involved in like a sacrifice, like in cloaks in a circle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I have seen that one. Yeah, yeah, I've seen that theory, but it's...
I don't believe that.
So I don't know. I don't know. I that's the one I lean into anyway. However, there is another theory that there is a lot of people that believe this theory. Like, a lot of people. Like, investigators, private investigators.
Me.
There's been documented, Dean. There's been documentaries that believe this. And I definitely see this as something that could have happened, for sure. But another theory is basically JonBenet had got up in the night. And this is... I'm going to give a few more details here about the case. But JonBenet was sort of known as a bedwetter. And she quite frequently wet the bed. And so one of the theories is, like, she's wet the bed in the night and she's gotten up and, the family are sort of dealing with that, like, they're sorting out the fact that she's wet the bed. Apparently this is something that...
Changing of the sheets.
Yes, changing of the sheets. Apparently this is something that quite annoyed Patsy quite a lot because she was six and she thought she was too old to be doing that. But can I just point out that bed wetting is, like, a really bad sign of kids having, like, anxiety or lots of, emotional issues going on, which, again, leads me to believe that there was something dodgy going on in that house, because it is a sign, isn't it? Like, bedwetting is a sign of something's not quite right when you're a child, especially if it's happening frequently as well.
Not always sinister, though, just to point that out there before people...
Not always sinister. That's why I said, like, anxiety sometimes and stuff like that, like, if they're worried for whatever reason. Whilst they're up and they're sort of dealing with, like, the change of the sheets, like we said, JonBenet has gone downstairs and she's gotten herself a snack, or, like, her mum's prepared her a snack, and it was of, like, pineapple and milk, which I think is a really strange combination of food. That's weird, isn't it? But apparently it's, like, a thing, and it was Baron's, like, her brother. It was, like, his favorite sort of... yeah, it was his favorite, like, snack. Like, he had it quite a lot. So one of the theories is that it wasn't actually JonBenet's, because she was found in her autopsy to just have just a little bit in her stomach, as if she just had, like, a bite of it. But they know, like, the investigators know that it was, like, an empty bowl, because it had all been eaten pretty much when they got there. And so the theory is it was actually Baron who was eating that, and then JonBenet sort of come past him and sort of took a bite, or, like, you know, a spoonful of it, and this has made him quite angry because it's his food. And then now we're about to sort of get into what we think Baron has done, but there is a bit of background to this as well. So friends of the family said Baron was known to have, like, hit JonBenet before, to have hit her with objects and stuff like that before, and have quite a bad temper, and he was quite indifferent to her. He didn't have that sort of, like, brotherly...
He comes across as like that in all of the interviews, even as he's an adult.
Yeah, he's very, like, cold, isn't he? And like, I thought, God, you're talking about, like, your little sister's disappearance and death. Like, surely you'd have a little bit more emotion than that, but he doesn't. And so this is where this theory comes from, because there are lots of witnesses who had witnessed him either physically hit or, like, speak to her nastily, things like that. There was one instance where he hit her with a golf club, no, or a baseball bat. And so he had done it before. Obviously, he's her older brother. And so the theory goes, she's took a bit of his food, being a bit cheeky, and walked off. And he's grabbed the closest thing he can to him and hit her with it. And when he's hit her with it, she's obviously gone unconscious, or unfortunately died from that injury. And so something that they speculate she was hit with is, like, a torch, a heavy one. Like, if you imagine, like, an old-fashioned sort of big torch, not like a little one that you take camping, like a proper full-on big torch, he's picked that up and whacked her on the back of the head with it, and it matches, completely matches this torch that they had in the house with the mark on the back of the head. And so it does kind of line up that was probably used, because then obviously they went and found it. So I think that is a very credible sort of theory. In the 911 call, apparently he can be heard in the background as well, Baron, as Patsy's talking, saying, like, did you do? So it's almost as if, like, Patsy is, like, covering the, you know, like, the receiver in the phone and saying, like, what have you done? Or, you know, like, something like that. Because when they've gone back and sort of listened to it again, that's what some people say they can hear from it. Obviously, it's not, like, that's one of the big things that sort of makes people think that as well. Also, on her body, and this sort of coincides with her being taken to the basement where there was a train track set, on her body is, like, imprints of these little train tracks, which kind of shows she's been either, like, lay on them for a long time, or they've been like pressed into it or something like that has happened. And so
it's not the train tracks though, is it? It's not like you would imagine like a train tracks. It's like scale electrics, I think of the ends that connect the metal bits together. It's the two pointy bits, because they couldn't figure out for the longest time what they were. It's like almost like the two bits that connect to the next track was impressed in her. So like if it was pushed into a long ways, not like length ways, she hasn't got like a train track. Does that make sense? Like she's been jabbed.
Yeah, so it was like two little indents, not like straight lines, if that makes sense. And they had been pressed into her, which seemed quite like odd for like why would someone do that? And the fact that it's like Baron's train tracks, it like to me that kind of seems like something a child would do, you know, like if he's playing with his own toy basically, isn't he? And then prodding his sister.
Well, it might not have happened at the time of the murder. It could have happened like the way I imagine it is that this has escalated over the course of the day or over the course of a bit, and like that might have been something that started it off, started the animosity.
Yeah, definitely. So that's like the sort of main theories, and there's been loads about Baron, and like he's done loads of interviews and things like that, and in the interviews he does seem very dodgy. However, we would like to say this is all completely alleged. Please don't sue us, because apparently that is something that happens.
Yeah. It's alleged.
So it's alleged, all alleged. But yeah, that is the one that you definitely lean into more, and I can definitely see that happening.
Allegedly, I can allegedly see that happen. Allegedly, yeah.
Allegedly. But it does seem, I don't know, to me, that kind of does feel like, well, he probably would cover for him, wouldn't he? Because he's their son.
I wouldn't.
But I think this kind of family that they were very, like, well-to-do, public perception. But the only thing that kind of makes me go, with that theory of it being the brothers, what is that DNA on her body?
I think that has come from the fact that the body was taken and put in that place for lots of different DNA was traipsed through.
Yeah, but there were signs of a sexual assault as well. This is where the theories gets a bit sticky, doesn't it? So do you want to know, I think you can kind of combine the theories. So what I didn't mention at the top of the episode is that this is Christmas Day night, so she's found, you know, dead on Boxing Day basically, and on Christmas Day night they'd been at a party, so they've gone to a friend's like big party, and then they'd come back like late basically. What I think might have happened, if you're connecting these theories, if they've gone to a party with all these friends who are supposedly in this, like the some cult. Of them allegedly in the culty paedophile ring, maybe something inconspicuous has gone on there. Maybe that's been a tension of an argument when they've got home, you know what I mean? And then that's why those sort of things have been found the following day.
There's another theory that allegedly that had been happening at the party, or the brother had seen her as being given special treatment and doing things that he wasn't, so he was jealous, allegedly.
Yes.
It is alleged.
But the thing is, I am inclined to believe some of this, because this is obviously coming from like friends of the family and things like that, and lots of the friends of the family also believe that Baron allegedly did this. When you look at the documentary that CBS came out with, Baron was not happy about, they, like a lot of the friends on there, say that they would not have trouble believing that because of the way he was quite volatile, allegedly, with JonBenet. So it's not a huge leap.
I can allegedly see that.
I can also allegedly see that. So I think for me it is a huge mystery. It's still never been resolved to this day, and unfortunately I don't think it's ever going
to
be
resolved. No, and neither do I, to be honest with you. I think it's going to be one of them things, like there are those cases, aren't there, which we will just never ever get to the bottom of. And I hope when I die, when I go up to that big alleged place in the sky, that I get taken into, the way I imagine this in my head is that it's a room full of filing cabinet, and it's like a little old woman like Roz from Monsters Inc, and she's like, what do you want to know? And I can ask these questions.
Oh yeah, that would be something I would like to ask. However, Patsy Ramsey died of cancer after a 13-year battle, and then obviously since then John Ramsey denies any, you know, like knowing anything about it, and as does Baron as well when they've been like interviewed in the subsequent years. So nothing has really came from that or happened from that. And another kind of point of contention for me is that this ransom note, which was clearly allegedly written by the family, there was never anything back off that. Do you know what I mean? Like why would you write that note and then leave her down there? Like, it doesn't make any sense, does it? Like, just don't write the note, or just
don't. It seems like
it's
a plan that was kind of frantically put together and kind of must have made sense to someone's way of thinking as to how they could cover this up.
Yeah, because it just doesn't make any sense at all. Like, if you are committing a ransom, like a kidnapping, you are in and you are out. I don't know if you've ever seen the film Kidnap with Halle Berry in, and oh my, that is like, that is tragic, that film. But that's basically about like how they actually like go about kidnap children, take them as quickly as possible, which is definitely what happens, because it's very, a lot of the time it's very methodical. You're in, you're out,
this is upsetting.
You know, and it's not like you're in, you're writing a note for 20 odd minutes. I think the investigators actually rewrote out the note as quickly as they could, and it took them like over 20 minutes to write the note, and they were like, there's absolutely no way someone who's going to kidnap a child is going to sit in a house for 20 odd minutes writing a note. And that was them just writing it verbatim, you know, like copying it, not thinking up what to say, and you know, like things like that. It was them, you know, like doing a time thing, knowing that they're trying to do it as quick as they can. So that's like as fast as they can. It's still like 20 minutes. So there's just no way that they would. I just don't believe that theory for a second. Don't believe it.
Neither do I. Well, this has been an interesting case.
This is a really interesting case. And unfortunately, like we said, it probably is just going to go unsolved.
Makes me sad.
I don't know. I do get you with Baron, but the only thing that kind of tips me over the edge is the fact that there's that other DNA and like the sexual assault. That's where I'm thinking, what happened there then? You know, I think just very dodgy things were happening in that family. I don't like judging people on the way that they're interviewed and the way they react when, you know, a crime happens, because I totally get like people react differently. You can never judge people for how they react to stuff. But when you watch them in interviews, even at the time, it just is very odd. There's something off about
even
it.
Even after the fact, it's odd.
Yeah,
they are odd.
There's something just very disingenuous about the type of people that they are, and you can't put your finger on it, but it just, there's something not right there. And then you look at like how you look at like other people, like, you know, who've lost their kids or something, and the way they're interviewed, and you just think like there's no like humanity, you know, in the eyes. It's weird, it's very strange. So I think the family definitely had something to do with it, 100%.
Allegedly. Obviously, all this is Danielle's opinion and not mine. So, direct your lawsuits at Danielle Waldron. You know where I stand. You know where Danielle stands. Let us know what you think.
But tell us how you stand, yeah? Tell us where you stand. I love that, unison. Yeah, tell us where you stand. Go and comment on our Facebook and stuff like that. All the usual places on the Instagram and whatnot.
And you might tell us, let us know something what you think. We don't know.
Oh yeah, with other theories. And remember, we have like very deliberately like scraped the surface sort of thing, like with this case, because we wanted to keep it short, because there's so much to it and there's loads of theories. There's lots of side things that the police went and did and stuff like that. There's tons. So yeah, so if you are interested in the case and you are one of the few people in the world that have never heard of it, do go and watch like the documentaries on stuff, because it's fascinating.
Can I also just point out, I really enjoyed the True Crime Obsessed podcast coverage on this, on that.
Oh yes, yeah,
might be a good one to have a little look at. But thank you very much for listening. We have got 3 more episodes left of our quaint little true crime podcast. Make sure you tune in to our next episode, which is all about DB Cooper.
I am excited for this one. It's a fun case. I like it.
And that will be released on Monday, and then we will have our swan song episode after that. But in the meantime,
stay curious.
Stay morbid.
This has been an Audio Bear production. Our show tune is Half Mystery by Kevin MacLeod.
Yes, MacLeod.